Today's scripture reading is Genesis chapter 8, verse 13 to 16. Genesis chapter 8, verse 13 to 16. The title is January 1st, 2025, Let the Reed Be Removed, Part 1. I'd like to repeat, January 1st, 2025, Let the Reed Be Removed, Part 1. I'd like to read Genesis chapter 8. Verse 13 to 16. Now it came about in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first of the month, the water was dried up from the earth. Then Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your son's wife with you. This is the word of God. Today, we are offering our first worship service of 2025 to God, as He has allowed us to do so. Every year, as the new year begins, we always thank God for His patience, as despite our shortcomings and the lack of faith, He has graciously granted us the gift of another year. Above all, by allowing us to reset everything as we begin the new year, He helps us forget the past and make a fresh start. Although we are undeserving, we are once again able to step forward with renewed determination and fresh steps, relying on God's grace. Amen. But we must be careful that we do not brightly enter the new year without the repentance for our wrong, because of God is renewing us, and we must not forget that only those who thoroughly repent of what has gone wrong in the past and do not repeat the same sins can truly make a fresh start. Today, as we begin a new year, I wanted to take a look at Noah's thought and resolution as he lifted the reed of the ark of the New Year's Day, 601st, and may they be a source of strength and encouragement to us as we make a new beginning. As we know, Noah was warned by God at least 70 to 80 years before the flood about how God was going to sweep away this sinful world with water. Out of fear, Noah built the ark according to God's word and brought into the ark 7 clean animals, male and female, and 2 unclean animals, male and female, as well as the birds of the air, house, and wild animal to preserve life. Based on this, the biblical archaeologists estimate the minimum number of the animals that entered the ark to be around 10,000 to 12,000. And there was food stored for Noah and the living creatures. You can find out the Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 to 21. Archaeologists put the total weight of the food for the living creature at around 4,000 tons. If we calculate the load capacity of the ark, we get 20,500 tons, which would be big enough to carry them all. But would it have been possible to feed 12,000 animals day in and day out and dispose of their food and waste with only 8 people? in the world, it is impossible. So some say that the animals must have been kept in hibernations. But in the Noah's day, there was no facilities for forcing animals into hibernation, and it would have been impossible to manage them. In view of this, it would have been impossible without the supernatural help of God in everything. In any case, Noah did according to all that God commanded him. And finally, God's command to enter the ark came, and 7 days later, the flood waters covered the earth. You can see that the Genesis chapter 7, verse 9 to 11. And on January 1st, 6004, the waters receded, and Noah opened the covering of the ark and look out and saw that the ground was dry. But Noah did not go out of the ark but wait for God's command. Noah was absolutely obedient to God's word. He obeyed the command to build the ark, and he obeyed the command to enter the ark, and he obeyed the command to get out of the ark, but he waited for God's command. The waters had receded, so why not get out? There was a new world in front of him. It would have been tempting to get out of the ark and walk on the ground right away, but he waited. It was probably the longest wait Noah ever had, but he wanted to be blessed for his obedience. This is the way to live. And so, after 57 days, on February 27, Noah's age 601, the first, Noah and all the living creatures followed God's word to come out of the ark. You can see that the Genesis chapter 8, verse 13 to 16, I like to read, is just 14 to 15. And in the second month of the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark." From February 10th, 600, when Noah was commanded by God to enter the ark, to February 27, 601, when he left the ark, Noah was in the ark for 1 year and 10 days. What did Noah do in the ark? The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what he did, but the first thing that we can infer is that he probably managed the animals he brought into the ark to preserve their lives. But was that all he did? Certainly, Noah must have entered the 7 days before the flood, and every day he would have looked at the heavens through a window. The window Hebrew is the choar, 1 cubit from the roof of the third floor of the ark. You can see the Genesis chapter 6, verse 16. To see when the God's judgment would occur. Finally, they would have seen and counted the 40 days of rain. The ark must have been floating on the water, swaying with the current, the entire vessel shaking and rocking from side to side. It must have been a painful experience for everyone inside. For 40 days, rain fell continuously, and everything was shrouded in darkness, making the inside of the ark even more pitch black. The sounds of animals' cries inside the ark must have never ceased. Although they prepared the ark in faith and entered it, they could never have imagined such situations. Through the window, they must have witnessed the side of the highest mountains of the earth being completely covered by the water. The land was entirely submerged, and even though Noah preached God's word while building the ark, those who did not heed it continued in disbelief until their death. They would have seen the bodies of people floating on the water, along with the carcasses of all the creatures. This window would be etymologically different from the window that let out the dove, Genesis chapter 8, verse 6, from the dead. The window that is a Hebrew is a halon, that is a window made by cutting hole in the wall. This window is not simply a window to ventilate the air, but for Noah it becomes a divine window to read the heavens, a window of prayer to see what God is doing. It's like the Daniel is even he's captured in the Babylon. He pray every day in the Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. According to the Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, is like that. He enters his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open forward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God. So Noah was knocking on the door of prayer to God day after day. It's like the Jesus say, someone, he prayed every day, he's knocking on the door of prayer, that time there will be answered then. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given up to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, find, and to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Amen. Seeing God to wipe out all living things on the earth according to his word, Noah must have been deep in thought and prayer to God. He was in the ark for a year and 10 days, witnessing and experiencing God's judgment. It must have felt like 1,000 years to Noah. Although he had built and entered the ark by faith and was being kept alive, he was afraid of God's judgment and didn't know when it would end. Every day, Noah must have commanded his entire family to pray to God. So God blessed Noah, his family, and the living creature, and after 150 days of water covering the earth, he caused a wind to blow over the earth, and the waters began to recede. You can see that in the Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the dark. God caused the wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. And the ark came to rest at the Mount Ararat on July 17th, and finally rested. Although the ark was at rest on Mount Ararat, no longer floating and no longer shaking, and there was still no rest in Noah's heart. Although it's not mentioned in the Bible, it is possible that Noah, in the midst of such a difficult and challenging judgment, wondered, has God forgotten about us? Even God's servant Moses, when he saw the he saw the rebellious Israelites, although he had been given the mission to lead them into the land of Canaan, complained to God, not out of anger, but with a deep sense of frustration, asking God to stop troubling him. He cried out to God, saying that he could not bear the weight of his burden alone. Let's look at the Numbers chapter 11, verse 11 to 12. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why hast thou been so hard on thy servant, and why have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou hast laid the burden of all these people and me? Was it I was conceived all these people? Was it I who brought them forth, that thou shouldest say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which thou didst swear to their fathers?" In the midst of so much suffering and tribulation, it is possible to cry out to a silent God. Let's look at another scripture, the Psalm chapter 42, verse 9. I will say to God, "My rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" But God speaks clearly. Let's look at the Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. "Can a woman so forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the sons of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you." But I will not forget you. Amen. We too must believe that no matter how difficult and unbearable the circumstance, when you have faith in God and persistent prayer, God will never fail to remember us and hold us firmly in His saving hand. Amen. Noah and his family of 7 waited with one heart in faith for the word of God to come. They covered their mouths and prayed for the flood to come quickly so that the glory of God would be revealed. As like someone who waiting for the second coming Jesus Christ, you can find out how to dare. So there's some spiritual, the faithful attitude. Let's look at the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by the burning, and the element will melt with intense heat." This waiting requires confidence and patience in God's word and promise. Noah and his family were in the ark waiting to see the Lord, the bridegroom, as soon as possible. This is the attitude of the believers. Let's look at the Luke chapter 12, verse 36. The Jesus said, they may immediately open the doors to him, that the bridegroom, when he comes and knocks. They wait for the flood that God had promised to their father. How much do we long and wait for God's word to be fulfilled? Do we sometimes think that it's fine if the end comes, or if it doesn't come at all? Could we holding such thought in our heart? Noah and many other advanced believers wait for the redemption of their body against the judgment of God. In this corruptible world, they wait with groaning for the day when their corruptible bodies would be changed free from death and made eternal sons of God. Amen. Let's look at the Romans chapter 8, verse 23. we ourselves having the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan with ourselves, waiting eagerly to our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Amen. With such a longing heart are we waiting for the Lord's coming. While building the ark, Noah and his family endured the ridicule, criticism, scorn, and contempt from countless peoples. Yet they patiently bore all of this and faithfully proclaimed God's word. In the end, they wait inside the ark, trusting that God would reward their labor with his comfort. There is a sure. Let's look at the second Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Who comfort us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Amen. When the Lord came to early 2,000 years ago, all who met and knew him as the Messiah were waiting for the comfort of God and the coming of the kingdom of God. For example, let's look at the Luke chapter 2, verse 25. There is the people coming. His name is Simon. He looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He know the Jesus who he is. And also, I will give you another scripture. It's Luke chapter 23, verse 50 to 51. There are coming the people, some is Arimathea, Yosef. He who was waiting for the kingdom of God. He knew him. So Noah was always waiting to hear from God, waiting to see if he could see the new heavens and the new earth, waiting to meet God. God heard the prayers of these people. Amen. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. I wait patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Just as Noah entered the ark because he was credited with righteousness, so his prayer was that he would now receive a diploma of righteousness by meeting the Lord. Amen. He was praying for the end, which is exactly what we need. Let's look at this kind of prayer. I'd like to give you the Titus chapter 2, verse 13, and the Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. I'd like to read the Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for the blessed, the hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and the Savior, Christ Jesus. They're looking for that. And another one, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. Eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who truly greet the first day of the new year are those who, with a longing heart, wait for all of God's promise and words to be fulfilled as soon as possible. They overcome all trials with faith and certainty, and they see the moment of meeting the Lord as their true hope. It is to these people that the true meaning of Noah's 601st New Year's Day is realized. Think back to the time when Noah struck the door of the ark. when he sees the black waters receding, when he sees the darkness and the horror of the scarlet terror and have covered the earth, when he sees the earth drying up and resuming its former appearance, it must have been an incredible, joyous, thrilling event for Noah. Noah took away the door of the ark which in its original language means to remove. There is no need to close it again. Thus, that day was a day of living hope, expectation, and joy for Noah. Today, I bless you all, even in the midst of the difficult and the challenging moment that press us down at our church, Love First Church. If we do not lose sight of God's promise and the oath, and if we wait with faith for them to be fulfilled among us, just as Noah experienced the blessing of the first day of the new year, we too will experience it. I believe and bless you in this truth. These blessings did not come to us simply because we were in the dark, in the ark. Water is a gift from the God in the first place. The rain is God's grace. When we fail to receive the God and His word by faith, we must see clearly that the water is being used as an instrument of judgment. The first day, the first that destroyed the cities, the fire that destroyed the cities of the Sodom and Gomorrah, is also the word of God, the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, the bond in our heart, in our souls, and in our flesh. But when we do not receive it by faith, it reserved for wrath as judgment. Understand? It should not be forgotten that the word is used as an instrument of judgment for the ungodly who willingly turn away from the word of God. This is something that is still true for us today. I'd like to give you some verse is the Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 to 20. Just I like to read verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendant. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Amen. Let's all find our Bible, read, and conclude. Please open your Bible, find out Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Find it, we read together. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Did you find it? I like to, we read together. 시작. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore we wait on high to have a confession on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for Him. Amen. I pray that this year will be a year where you wait with a longing heart and a growing spirit, eagerly desiring the Lord, and that you will finally meet Him. Amen. May it be a year of encountering the Lord in a profound and meaningful way. Amen.